Father, I thank you for sending your Son, the Word made flesh, who dwelled among us. Thank you for sending him. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for being the way, the truth, and the life. And I thank you that when you left, you sent your Holy Spirit as the comforter, as the advocate, the one that will guide and teach and indwell. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the Spirit of truth and that you've been sent to empower those whose faith is in Jesus. And so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we thank you and praise you. And so may your will be done in our lives and in our hearts as it is in heaven. Please fill us with your Spirit as we explore your word today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, earlier in the service, I read from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And a couple of verses later, actually in verse 13, Paul goes on to quote the prophet Joel by saying this: "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." In and of itself, that is a tremendous promise. That is good news. It is great news. Who can call? Everyone. Not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. The world is divided really into two, Jews and Gentiles, and Christ's death on the cross and resurrection brought them together as one. And so who can call? Everyone. What must they do? Well, they must call, not on the phone, but with their heart, cry out to Almighty God. To cry out to Jesus, the Lord, who was referenced back in verses 9 and 10, the Lord of all. Whom are they calling upon? The Lord Jesus. What is the ultimate result of this calling? It's salvation, being saved. Saved from what? Well, ultimately saved from God's wrath and his punishment for sin. And saved to God's love and his embrace. Many times we want to focus on what we've been rescued from, but I like to focus on what we've been rescued to. Yes, saved from hell, but saved to life with Christ. And so this is the promise that Paul reminds us of, quoting again from the book of Joel or from the prophet Joel. And after Paul reminds them of this gospel promise, Paul goes on to ask four crucial questions for us to consider as well. The first question that Paul asks: how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? Which is a good question. And the simple answer to Paul's question is they can't. How can they address or cry out to the God who saves if they have not believed that he exists? Or that he has even come to save? Simple answer is they can't. Lost people cannot call out to a God that they don't believe in. Do you remember in Acts chapter 17, Paul is there in Athens, and he's walking amongst the different idols and different objects of worship that the Athenians had. And he finds an altar that has an inscription that says, "To an unknown God." They were worshiping something they did not even know. And Paul tells them that they're ignorant of who it was that they were worshiping. And so this is the God he was going to proclaim to them, the unknown God. His name is Jesus. And so in order for someone to call out for help, they must believe or know who to call out to. Which leads to Paul's second question. His second question is, and how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? You can't make the story of Jesus up. It's too incredible. And so the simple answer to Paul's question is, you can't. They can't believe in the one they have not heard of. There are 2.9 billion people on the planet who have never heard the name Jesus. That's really hard to swallow. Most of us have been singing his name since we were little kids. There's almost half the population of the planet who have never even heard his name. And so how can they believe in the one of whom they've not even heard? They can't. Hearing is not enough, of course. There has to be belief attached to that. They must call on him to be saved. And so most Americans have heard the name Jesus. Many Americans use his name as a cuss word. Of course, they've heard of him, but that doesn't save. Head knowledge doesn't save. They must hear and believe the good news and the bad news. The bad news being that God's wrath is coming upon sin. The good news is that God has sent a Savior to save us from his wrath. That Savior is Jesus. Paul asks a third question. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Well, the simple answer is they can't. They can't hear about it unless someone tells them, unless someone preaches it to them. Lost people can't hear the good news without someone telling them about it. And so this word preach, it means to proclaim. It means to announce good news like a herald would, emphatically announcing that the war is over, that the victory is won. News from the far off land announced, that is preaching. So preaching is giving lost people what they need to hear. What do they need to hear? They need to hear the gospel, the good news, that Christ has won the victory over sin, that he has defeated death, and now he has offered to save you if you'll put your faith in him. That's good news, because we can't save ourselves. We're in big trouble without a Savior. The preacher must preach so that lost people can hear the message, so that they can believe, so that they can call, so that they can be saved. Lost people must hear not just about Jesus that has come to save, but they also must hear the bad news. They must hear about their sin that separates them from God. And it's only when they know and comprehend that they are lost because of their sin that they can cry out and say, rescue me, save me. Is there anybody that can save me? And the answer is yes. That's the good news of the gospel. And so lost people must hear it being preached passionately from someone with conviction, as if their life depended on it. This is not just the latest marketing tool of the church and this other product that we have. No. There's one story. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus, and your life depends on knowing him. Paul goes on and asks a fourth question. If I can get it. There we go. He asks, and how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Well, and the simple answer is that they can't and they won't. So they must be sent to do so. Sent, like on a mission, with a specific task and a goal to preach the truth about Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, Paul uses different language. He describes it as believers, as ambassadors, representatives from another country on a mission to announce the reconciliation, the peace of God with his enemies. And so somebody, someone must be the ambassador that is sent to lost people. Somebody has to go, which leads us to the fifth question, which is not Paul's question, but it's mine. And it's, my question is, who is sent? Who is God sending to lost people to share this message? Who? You might be thinking, well, I think it's the pastor's job, right? That's whose job it is. Well, I think you know the answer, but let's make sure that we're all on the same page here, because we've got people who have been believers in the room for decades and people who have been believers for just a few years or even a few months. Who has the Lord sent into the world to preach the message of salvation? Who? Well, listen to what Jesus says. Right before he ascended into heaven, he reminded his disciples of this. You've probably heard this. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to his disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age, Jesus says. This is the command of Jesus to his disciples, to his followers. Go and make other followers. Baptize them, teach them. And then the promise is that Jesus is with us as we go. We call it the Great Commission, the Great Mission. This is your purpose as a believer. Your purpose as a believer is not to show up here on Sunday mornings from 10 to 11. That's not your purpose. That's one thing that we get to do, but your purpose is the Great Commission, to go and make disciples. Coming here is part of how we do that, as we equip one another, encourage one another, and worship. But your purpose as a believer is the Great Commission. Listen to something else that Jesus said about this topic. Comes back in chapter 9 of Matthew. Then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He said this to his disciples. Of course, the harvest is those that are waiting to be saved. And who are the workers that he's talking about here? Who is to be sent out to work in these fields of lost people? It's his disciples. It's the preachers, the ones who are sent to preach, to tell the message, so that they can hear, so they can believe, so that they can call, and then as a result be saved. So Jesus tells his disciples to ask the Lord to send more workers, to pray for more workers, to go on the mission of preaching and telling people about this hope in Christ. And so if you take Paul's questions and you kind of put them into a format that is a process, which is a bit upside down, his process for outlining how someone is led to be found may sound like this. We send people. Who is sent? Every one of us in this room that's a believer. That's who. Where are we sent to? Well, neighbors and nations and everything in between. Your responsibility is not Africa, unless God sends you there. For at least for you to go there, yes, your responsibility is Africa and Asia and all the rest of the continents on the planet. Jesus said he was sending his disciples to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Most of us have enough on our plate with just sharing the gospel with our neighbor. That's a big enough handful. And so what are we sent to do? We're not sent to be neighborly. We're sent to preach. We're sent to tell people about this good news. And so when we go, because we are sent, and when we tell the message that comes in a variety of ways, doesn't have to be standing behind a pulpit with a microphone, pounding the pulpit. Maybe it is being nice to your neighbor and having the opportunity to have some sort of conversation that will eventually lead to a gospel conversation. But when we go in the power of the Spirit as his ambassadors, we're filled with the Spirit, we tell the message, that's the end of our job. Our job is to go and tell. Their job is to hear the message. Their job is to believe the news, the good news about the Savior. Their job is to then respond to that story and call on the Savior who can rescue them. And then, if they do those things, the promise is that God will save them. God will save them. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Take your own story and apply it to these words up here. Many of you, your own personal testimony is that someone was in relationship with you, sent to you, they told you the story, you heard it, maybe it took more than once. You heard the story of the gospel, you believed it, and then you cried out to the Lord, you called, and he saved you in that moment. I am so thankful for a woman named Becky Wilmont. I don't know why she came to Edgerton, Ohio, but for me, she was sent to Edgerton, Ohio to sit in the little library of the Edgerton Church of Christ and share the gospel with a know-it-all 15-year-old who already knew all the gospel stories, shared the gospel with him. He heard the good news. He believed the good news, and then he called out to God to save him. And in April of 1989, Lance Stiver was saved. So that's how the process worked out in my life. You have your own story to tell. So let's tell it. Paul goes on to say, after those four questions, he quotes Isaiah. He says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Beautiful feet. Do you have beautiful feet? Do we as a church have beautiful feet? It's not our job to save. Our job is to proclaim. Creatively. Sensitively, but not wanting to offend, but the gospel is an offense. Our job is to proclaim it so that they can hear it, so that they can have multiple opportunities to hear this good news. And so how we go about preaching to them, well, that's a whole other sermon for another day. But it starts with the realization on our parts as the ones being sent to realize that we are being sent by God, that it's not the pastor's job to reach these 19 or your neighbor. It's your job to reach your neighbor, and it's our job to reach these 19 and beyond. So we've been sent by Christ, and we're praying for his heart and his power to preach it in a way that they might hear it. So there was a time in my life, in my Christian life, when I didn't care a bit about the eternal destiny of my neighbors. Didn't care a bit. And as a result, I had no purpose in my life. None at all. Go to work, come home, and that was it. Is that my life? No. I was reminded of my purpose, and God started using me. So you don't have to be a pastor to tell someone about the good news. We have a story to tell about a man named Jesus. So it's our job to tell it. It's our job to tell it. And so even if you have to get dressed up in crazy outfits to tell your story, eternity is worth it. Amen. Well, to God be the glory. Great things He has done.